Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. For the next hour, I hope to entertain you, piss you off, or maybe even inform you. Bottom line is we hope to have some fun here for the next hour. You can join us on the toll-free. I do drop this at the top of every hour. If you want to join us on the toll-free phone line, you can. The number, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, a big weekend of boxing that just took place. We talked about that. Now we're number one, of course, Chris Areola having an issue with the judges' scorecards as far as his losing to Andy Ruiz. Andy Ruiz saying he was 60% of what he should be at 100%. Bottom line is, we probably need to see those guys roll again. Of course, May 15th, boxing coming back. The WBC Super Bantamweight title is going to go for on Showtime. Luis Neri and Brandon Figueroa, of course, the 15th as well. Terry Harper and Hung Yun Choi. Of course, that's the WBA and WBC female super featherweight titles, 130 pounds. May 22nd, this is one you got to watch out for. Josh Taylor, my guy from the UK. I think he's the real deal. I do. He and Jose Ramirez are going to hook it up for the undisputed 140-pound world championship. It's going to be ESPN May 22nd. That's going to be one hell of a fight. Of course, the 29th, the kid from San Francisco, Devin Haney, the email champion or the Instagram champ, whatever he is, taking on Jorge Linares. WBC lightweight title. 29th as well, Nordine Uba taking on Nonito Nair. Of course, the Filipino Flash from across the pond fighting for the WBC bantamweight title. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Watching the man with the fast feet. Down to the nightclub. The theme for Law & Order. Why am I going to the theme of Law & Order? Lightweight contender, Felix Verdejo. Of course, Steve Verdejo, formerly a hot fighter, no doubt about it, that got stopped in the last fight, I think December of 2020, by Masayoshi Nakatani. Of course, he's a top lightweight, no doubt about it, that kid from Japan. I mean, he really is. Anyway, he is wanted in investigation with a murder case, of course, involving a 27-year-old pregnant woman with whom he allegedly was having an affair. The story is front page news in Puerto Rico, where press reports report that police have seized his Dodge Durango and they're combing through his phone and text records. Bottom line is, this is the O.J. Simpson of 2021. Except he's not going to get away with it, probably. I mean, he's not. I mean, we've come a long way since then. I can't believe O.J. got away with it. Of course, you know, O.J. and the DNA thing. DNA, remember that jury? That jury, they didn't know what DNA was? That jury in my family, when I try to bring up DNA and genealogy, that kind of stuff in my family, sort of like the OJ jury, does not apply. Not DNA, does not apply. That's what they think DNA is, does not apply. Anyway, Verdejo, in a world of trouble, 27-2, of course, 17 KOs. Not the greatest fighter in the world. They thought he was going to be the next Felix Trinidad or like the next Benito. And all these high, lofty, you know, expectations. He didn't even make it to be like the next Miguel Cotto. I mean, he really wasn't that good. I mean, he was sort of like a Juan Ma type of guy. At best at that. Juan Mario Lopez, of course, a guy that failed miserably. I got to say this, though. Verdejo, they thought at one point in time they invested a lot of money in him. The Puerto Rican people put money in him as far as management was concerned. And they thought he was going to be a real deal, but it ain't going to happen. Anyway, last night, Arislandi Lara, the Cuban national, of course, now the WBA middleweight title holder, of course, the former champion, 154 pounds, now a 160-pound champion. They call him the American Dream. Yeah, okay. 28-3, three draws, 16 KOs, his third title in his second weight class when he stopped Thomas Cornflake. Listen, if you've got a name like Cornflake, you probably don't belong in the prize fighting game. I mean, Cornflake, Pussyfoot, come on, Corn, come on, come on. Why not Puffy? Anyway, bottom line is, he didn't last very long. How long? Knocked him out in the very first round and claimed the vacant WBA middleweight title. Of course, I thought Gennady Golovkin had that. It was on the undercard down there with Areola and Andy Ruiz in Carson, California. They call that place the Dignity Health Sports Park now. I guess that's some Dignity Health might be some health plan like, you know, Aetna or something like that. Anyway, bottom line is Carson, California came alive last night. Almost 4,000 people. More power to him. Lara, of course, 38 years old, dropped LaManna with a straight left hand. It was laid him out in the very first round. The time was 80 seconds into the fight, 1 minute and 20 seconds into the fight. It was all over. Cornflake Lara, now 30-5 with 12 KOs and one draw. Cornflake. Think about that. Cornflake. Like, I mean, can you come up with a worse nickname than that? You probably can't. Speaking of upcoming fights, the man with the lightweight title, of course, Teofimo Lopez, undefeated, the kid from Brooklyn, New York, because his people are from Honduras, going to take on the kid from George Cabrazas. Cabrazas is coming to us, from, of course, from down under. They're going to do this on June the 5th. And, of course, I think that he is the absolute real deal. I think that Teofimo Lopez is going to be a spectacular fighter for a long time to come. Now, why do I say that? Because I picked him to beat Vasyl Lomachenko when Hector Martinez said I was out of my mind, you know. I mean, he's a boxing expert. Oh, man, you're going to lose this time. You're going to lose. No, I didn't lose that time. And, you know, Teofimo went out there and smoked him for the better part of 12 rounds. I mean, that fight wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't close after the first bell rang. It just wasn't. Speaking of exciting, somebody asked me, what do I think about Floyd Mayweather fights? I think I got to mimic Larry Merchant. Floyd Mayweather's fights, the excitement starts when the first bell rings. That's just the way it is. I mean, whether you guys want to admit it or not, what has he really done? I mean, I'll go back to it. Hour number one, am I spending too much time on Floyd Mayweather? He's coming back with this Logan Paul thing. Of course, they're going to go like on the night before Teofimo Lopez takes on the kid from Australia. But, you know, Lopez, as I said, 16 and zip, 12 KOs. Bad dude, no doubt about that. Taking on George Cambrosis, who's 19-0. Of course, Cambrosis, a good fighter. We watched him beat the kid from England about 4 or 5 months ago. Of course, Mr. Lomachenko, still unheard of. Where's he at? I can't even find the guy on a milk carton. Can't even find him on a milk carton. I mean, he was talking smack about Haney, and now Haney's going to be fighting pretty soon. And, you know, why isn't Lomachenko talking about fighting again? I think that Vasyl Lomachenko, all 32 years of him, 33 years of him, I think he's an old man. I think he's done. I think he'd stick a fork in him. I just think it's, you know, you can go so long. Like Marvin got tired after a while. You know, I mean, he just got tired after a while. And I think this kid's going to get tired a little bit earlier. He had a whole lot of amateur fights, like 300 amateur fights. And with the fact that he never lost a fight, or he lost to one fight and he avenged the one loss, but something like that. You know, and he lost the fight early on to Orlando Salido, where he got mugged, but he came back and beats Salido. And of course, the second time around, with as far as the lightweight championship is concerned, he's done his thing. As far as Vasyl Lomachenko is concerned, he's done. But Cambrosis Jr., probably a 5-1 underdog, and he's going to get stopped. If he doesn't get stopped, he'll take a beating for the better part of 12 rounds. Now, Teofimo Lopez, ready to make a statement in this fight. This is a statement-making fight. Why do I say that? Because Cambrosis is going to come straight to him. When you can punch, and you've got decent punching power, and he's got only, you know, he's got 12 knockouts in 16 fights, that's a good KO ratio, no doubt about that. But the thing there with Teofimo Lopez is there's only 16 fights. He's got this great amateur pedigree. Not really. He's only got like 25 fights as an amateur. So there really isn't all this acumen for him to look back on. But him and his father have got together and put together this team. And they seem to have been, it's a winning combination. There's no doubt about it. I mean, every time that we've doubted him, and Hector doubted him and doubted him and doubted him and doubted him, and he's come through. There's just no doubt about it. He's undefeated. Speaking of guys that Hector likes to doubt, and I'm trashing my best friend this weekend because I don't trash him all that often. I love him, you know that. But Ryan Garcia pulled out of a fight with Javier Fortuna late, I think it's going to be in July, and of course he's stating that he had anxiety or depression issues. You know, Hector can't get into the depression issue because he's never been depressed. He's never been down. He's just not that type of person. I mean, when I lost the custody battle in the 1990s, I lost like 40 pounds. It was down to 126, baby! 126 pounds, okay? And, something was wrong. So I went to the hospital, spent 3 weeks there. I was depressed. So, you know, after a few months, I was able to get myself back together. But man, I mean, imagine losing 40 pounds. And you're wondering why you're losing all this weight. You're just like sad and down and just things are not looking good, okay? And then, of course, you've got, you know, those are depression issues. And then you've got anxiety issues where sometimes, you know, you feel like just, you know, you're panicky and things like that. And Larry Merchant can't relate to that, but Hector can relate to that. Okay. So when Larry rapped on Ryan Garcia yesterday, he and I were talking on the phone yesterday, the Godfather and I, about Ryan Garcia off script. And, he was saying that he thought that Ryan Garcia was maybe choking up instead of just saying, you know, I got a bad back or something like that. He went forward with this emotional issue that Larry didn't know if that was the smartest thing in the world to do. I don't know, because I think that, you know, in Larry's world, in the world of a lot of people, I guess that mental illness is just not as cool as it should be. I mean, it's not as, you shouldn't talk about it like I think you should. I think mental illness is like everybody's been sick. I mean, my dog died. Get this. And I was depressed for a few months. I mean, I knew it. I wasn't sleeping right. I was sleeping a lot. I wasn't eating right. But this is all from a dog death. So imagine the trauma in your life that can affect you. And it can affect people in different ways. Now, Ryan Garcia, he's got two different kids from two different ladies. Of course, he was caught on DMZ or something like that about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, kissing on some girl. The girl he lives with wasn't happy about that. So evidently he patched things up. But, you know, he hasn't been the smoothest guy outside the ring. And then I saw him on that telecast, I guess at the Zone telecast about a month and a half ago, and I thought maybe he was a little buzzed. He's like, you know, he's a little aloof to him. So then about a month later, he comes up with this diagnosis or this admission where he's got anxiety and depression. He can't fight, in July against, you know, it's sad. It's just sad. It just really is. I mean, Javier Fortuna is not the greatest guy in the world, but he can't fight. He will come in shape. He will keep coming forward. You will have to stop him in order to beat him. Okay. And people like Larry again had doubts in Ryan Garcia. Hector has doubts in Ryan Garcia. I don't have that many doubts in him physically and or emotionally. I don't. I think the kid will come back emotionally. I think sort of it's a good thing if you know your shortcomings. I mean, it's not a good thing to admit them. I mean, I wouldn't have went with the emotional thing. If I have emotional issues, I'm not going to be come out and telling people about that. It's not something you want to put on the front page of Fight News. It's not, or you just don't want to do that. Or ESPN, you just don't want to do that. I mean, I would have said, you know, I hurt my back or, you know, something like that. That's what guys used to say. When guys had problems, you know, they hurt their back or they were doing sit-ups, they twisted their back and pulled a muscle or something like that, and you need to take, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 weeks off and you can't fight. Okay, so that's the way it's done. But an emotional issue, coming out with this emotional issue, it's a sign of bravery, but to some people it's gonna alienate them because they're gonna look at Ryan Garcia as a lesser person than he is because he admitted the fact that he has these emotional shortcomings. And guess what? We all have emotional shortcomings. Believe me, we all have emotional shortcomings. Look in the mirror. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, aka WBC Boxing TV. After the break, we go across the pond and bring in Sir Kenneth. I'm talking about Kenny Rainford, the man from the UK. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC Boxing TV, coming to you live, of course, on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Birthdays in the house. Emma turns 13, Evelyn turns 45. That's tomorrow, May the 3rd, of course. They are the Burroughs family from St. Louis. Straight up, happy birthday to the two of them. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. We take it to the UK and bring in Sir Kenneth Rainford. Sir Kenny, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. As Ernie would say, I woke up this morning.
Okay, good enough. Derek Chisora, supposedly long in the tooth, he gave Joseph Parker a good run yesterday.
Well, I watched the fight live last night, and depending on what way you view a fight, I had Chisora winning the fight. I thought Parker was lazy. Chisora was doing an awful lot of body attacking, body punching. And I think the judging was basically, you're either a Joe Frazier type judge or an Ali type judge that goes for the headshots. I personally think Chisora deserved the win. I really did. I thought he worked hard and he won most of the rounds for me.
Is Joseph Parker like the most undeserving heavyweight that there is? I mean, the guy sort of got by not being much.
Yeah, and you know the frustrating thing with him is he's like Andy Ruiz. He has real fast hands, real sharp shots. He's got a real good jab. He's got real fast hands, good sharp shots, but he's lazy. He just didn't seem to have any confidence in his fitness.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And of course, I don't even want to get in depth on that one. Next week, Billy Joe Saunders, of course, from the UK, is going to take on Canelo Alvarez. Of course, I guess he's close to the, if not over here in the United States. Where is he training? Is he here in the United States already?
Oh yeah, he's been there a week already, yeah.
Alright.
Tyson Fury's over there with him.
Okay, speaking of Tyson Fury, are those guys ever going to fight?
Well, I'm told the fight is definitely going to happen. It's just all politics. It's getting stupid now because, you know, the promoter, I heard a statement from Bob Arum to say it's dead in the water. I'm told otherwise. I'm told the fight is definitely going to happen.
But you've been saying that, and you and I have been telling our people that for like 6 or 7 months now. I mean, we've got to either get or a spit or get off the pot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. You know, they got to get the finger out and give the fans what they deserve and what's right. You know, and get the fight on. The longer they drag it out, the less exciting the fight's going to be for me because the two of them is going stale in gymnasiums.
Okay, Chisora, you thought won last night. What about the ladies' fight? What did you think of that one?
I thought it was a great fight. I thought I scored that fight a draw. Again, Katie Taylor was the busy fighter, but you got to look at what she was hitting: gloves, elbows. You know, Jonas had a good tight defense, and she was throwing some damn good shots, some good powerful shots. And you know, she hit Katie Taylor 3 or 4 times for me, and I scored that fight without being impartial. I scored it a draw.
Okay, the scores were 96-94, 6-4 in rounds, 96-95, 1 point, 96-95 twice. Does this deserve a rematch?
Definitely. It was the fight of the night, you know.
And they were amateur rivals at one point. They fought before as amateurs.
Yeah, they fought in the Olympics, I believe.
In the Olympics? Oh, man. So Katie Taylor gets a close one here. Women's boxing, I don't think Clarissa Shields is the face of women's boxing. Some people think she is. But I really think there's young girls coming up. There's super bad Estrada, Ciencias Estrada. I don't know if you saw her or not, but she was in action a few weeks ago. There are women coming up that are starting to make me want to be women's boxing fans again, because for a long time I wasn't.
Mm. The intriguing thing about the women's boxing is the 2-minute rounds. Because it's a 2-minute round, it's a psychological thing. They just go hell for leather. They just go right out the blocks. No messing about. No finding. Just straight in for the kill, you know. And this is probably one of the reasons it's making real good, exciting fights.
Okay. 9-1 underdog, Giovanni Straffen, 24-3-1, 16 KOs, knocked out former world title challenger James Tennyson in the first round, 28-4, 24 KOs. I guess that was the upset of the night, huh? 9-1?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. Without a doubt. If we only had a looking glass.
And what about Chris Eubank? How's Chris Eubank looking?
He's looking good. Looking real good, in fact. But you know, the one to me to match up to is, out of the two of them, Conor Benn's the better fighter.
Okay, so are they going to hook it up for the Battle of England, or are they going to go separate ways before they do that?
They'll go separate ways before they do that, you know.
You know, don't you think they could make like a fistful of money right away, and if they did it right the first time and it was competitive, they could do it again?
Yeah. The problem is, Pedro, as you know, in the 70s and 80s, if you were a good fighter, you were matched against, you know, the top fighters. Now, boxing has become a business. It's like they want to protect the fighter for the maximum amount of time to get them as much money as they can. And then, you know, it's crazy. And they're missing out on these great fights that, you know, which we're all missing out on.
But let's be honest, you know, great fights, you know, you could watch 100 fights and you're probably not going to get the same amount. If you watch 100 fights and 100 baseball games, I think Max Kellerman told me this about 25 years ago. But if you watch 100 baseball games and 100 boxing matches, you would probably find more percentage-wise, there would be a higher percentage of baseball games that are entertaining outside of boxing matches. What I'm trying to say is boxing's rare and few. You don't have that many great fights.
No. No, that's right. And particularly today, you know, the great fights today are in the lower weight classes, the heavyweight division, and you know, the light heavyweight divisions and stuff like this. You know, they're not producing the fights like you know, Matt Franklin provided, like Ali and Holmes provided, and Joe Frazier. Oh, it's, we were so spoiled back then. Now it's like watching some of these fights, it's like watching grass grow.
You know, the late Matthew Saad Muhammad, you're talking about Matt Franklin there, that's who was born, Matt Franklin, of course, the former WBC champion, passed away a few years ago. I watched him give his all, like, it was like he was almost willing, I mean, he was willing to die to win. He would throw it all out there.
Yeah, Yoki Lopez, for one, what a fight that was.
Yeah, and Yoki, of course, he and I sat together at a Northern California Boxing Hall of Fame dinner. I guess that was about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And he's still very lucid. He talks real well. I mean, for all the punches he took that he had taken in his time, the residual effects are not apparent.
Yeah, I was with Yoki Lopez 4 years ago. 4 years ago, yesterday, in fact, at the California Boxing Hall of Fame, when I inducted Ernie into I gave the speech to induct Ernie into the California Boxing Hall of Fame, and we were there, and, you know, we were reminiscing about, you know, it was his birthday the other day, the great Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, you know, just so competitive fighters back then. And of course, Britain's own John Conte.
Yeah, John Conte. Wow. You know, some great memories there. As far as pound for pound concerned, who's the best fighter pound for pound in all the UK?
In all the UK at the moment, I know he's got a bit to prove. Yeah, I'd be leaning towards Conor Benn.
I knew you were going to come up with that. Of course, the son of the Dark Destroyer, Nigel Benn. You know, it's so hard for fruit to fall off the tree and be as good as the tree itself. You think this kid's got a shot? Maybe being as good as his father?
I really do. Maybe not quite as good as his father. He's got a chance of being a real good champion, because he wasn't given a rich kid's upbringing, if you understand what I mean. He's had to fight for what he's got, you know. Although he's Nigel's son, he came from a broken home, and, you know, he never had it as great as, you know, should we say Chris Eubank's son, you know. He's a bit more hungrier.
You know, like, you mean like Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.'s kid, when his father grew up, his father was living in a railroad car in Tijuana. That's where he was living when he was doing 4-round fights, living in a railroad car. And then he's living in mansions. The kid's living in mansions. So you can't expect the kid to be nearly as hungry as the father.
Yeah, exactly. And when you talk about hungry fighters, I'll tell you now, my hungriest fighter of all time is the great Jack Dempsey. Some of the stories I heard about, this guy used to travel from town to town on the railroads, hanging onto rail lines, and he wouldn't eat for 3 and 4 days.
Yeah, he was a mad dude. Now, real quick, I got like a minute and a half left. The Nigel Benn, Gerald McCullum fight, I was of the opinion the referee blew that fight and probably should have called that a fight, a knockout in the first round for McCullum. What did you think?
No, I'd go along with the end results. I think you've got to give, in a championship fight, you've got to give champion and challenger the maximum. You know, it's a world title fight.
But he got knocked into the second row. He got knocked into the second row, and it took him longer than 10 seconds to get back.
I think it's like wrestling. You get an extra 5 seconds once you're out the ring.
You know, you're the greatest when it comes to boxing from the UK. I want to thank you so much. And of course, your wife gets upset. She's got to get upset because it's late on Sunday night there. So I thank you for your time each and every week, my brother. God bless you.
You too. Take it easy.
The great Kenny Rainford, of course, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. After the breakup coming, of course, I'll bring you to the soft side of Muhammad Ali, a.k.a. Cassius Clay, back in 1966. Of course, taking on a bunch of women. Ali versus women. What could go wrong? Think about that. What could go wrong? Anyway, I've got some texts to get to after the break as well. You can text me here in the studio. The text number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Don't forget, 6 days away, Canelo Alvarez, the once beaten pound for pound king of boxing, taking on undefeated Billy Joe Saunders, only on The Zone.
Everyone said, I wish I was in your shoe, I wish I was in your shoe. The people, the hundreds of people that wish they were in my shoe, don't know the hint of it. If they were in my shoe, they would cry like babies.
That's a sobering thought.
Thank you.
listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
The first song ever written by Emilio Castillo, the founding member of Tower of Power. You're still a young man. Of course, he wrote this about a girl, and he never told the girl he wrote the song about, her. He never told her, and she died. So I thought it was sort of cold. He should have told her, but the bottom line is, classic tune, Rick Stevens, the late Rick Stevens on lead, 1972, the mighty Tower of Power, You're Still a Young Man. Of course, Kupka, Stephen Kupka, of course, the funky doctor, Emilio Castillo, Kupka Castillo, that is the writing team of Kupka Castillo, Tower of Power. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV, of course, June 5th and June 6th, boxing in Miami, of course, for South Florida fans especially, obviously two major pay-per-view events. Wow, Saturday's Triller pay-per-view event will be undisputed World Lightweight Champion Teofimo Lopez against George Kambosos. And of course, plus ring legend, Evander the Real Deal Holyfield against the clone's colossus, Kevin McBride. Let me tell you about Kevin McBride. Kevin McBride, if he'd have fought me in, I wish to God he would have fought in the Golden Gloves here in San Francisco. I would have let him fight as a heavyweight, and I would have beat him. He was like pathetic. Just pathetic. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, I couldn't believe he won the fight, so he didn't. And of course, his big claim to fame was Mike Tyson sort of like laid down against him. Like, Mike was like all fat and not really not in good shape, not emotionally together the whole 9 yards. And that was Mike Tyson's last fight, I think, in 2004? We did that in Washington, D.C. I think it was in 2004 in Washington, D.C. But the bottom line is Tyson got lit up by Kevin McBride, and Kevin McBride's going to take on Evander Holyfield in this battle of old-timers, of course. And the idea, the concept is if, you know, he can beat up on McBride, evidently lure Tyson back out into a fight. Evidently, Mike Tyson's a guy that doesn't want to go into a real fight with Evander Holyfield. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Holyfield, McBride, let's just go with the main event. Talk about George Kambosos, undefeated, taking on, of course, the world lightweight champion, Mr. Teofimo Lopez, as well undefeated. Battle of O's, somebody's O's got to go. And on Sunday, Showtime pay-per-view will bring you the exhibition clash between ring legend Floyd Mayweather and YouTuber Logan Paul. Do I sound excited? You know what? To get up for that, you'd probably have to give me, how much is a 150-year-old man, how much Viagra does a 150-year-old man have to take? All right. Well, give me enough Viagra for a 300-year-old man, and I still don't think I can perform not watching this one. I mean, this is not going to be it. Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul is going to be at the Hard Rock Stadium, the home of the Miami Dolphins, and I guess they're going to put a lot of people in there, but Showtime pay-per-view is going to do the exhibition class between Mayweather and Logan Paul. Grudge, grudge, grudge. But anyway, bottom line is, I'm not up on Mayweather. I'm not up on Logan Paul. I'm not up on the other guy, Jake Paul. I don't know who these guys are, the YouTubers. I don't know what a YouTuber means. I have no idea. Bottom line is, they're going to make some money, I guess. And this is not boxing. This is a different sport. This is not boxing. I know Teofimo Lopez is boxing, but this other thing is not boxing. Sort of like it's like a freak type of thing. I don't know what, I got to talk about that a little bit later. Anyway, bottom line is, I promised you Muhammad Ali, of course, back in the 1960s, taking on a bunch of ladies from the UK as far as the British press were concerned. It's pretty funny.
Would you clear this up for me, please? Have you and Malcolm X, the man who helped convert you to the black Muslim movement, have the two of you split?
Well, number one, it's not black Muslim, it's Muslim. Black is the name given to it by the press. It's not black Muslim, it's Muslim. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad cuts a man off, well, then he's automatically cut off with all of his followers. And a lot of people call it a split. It's not a split. He's just one individual who, as we say, went astray. And when say, like two governments split, one leader takes half, another leader takes half. Malcolm X is just there, and this is not a split. He's not big enough to be called a split.
Well, my newspaper carried a story saying upon your return from Africa, you refused to stay at the Teresa Hotel, your former
headquarters. Well,
that's right.
My leader told me, not my leader, but various officials said that it wouldn't be nice being in the same hotel that he was in, and whatever they say, go.
Georgiano Kane, New York World Telegram.
You just said that your leader, Elijah Muhammad, has a program that is the final answer for American Negroes. Can you give us one or two points in this program?
Well, what I would say is that time will tell. You have 22 million people wanting to integrate, pushing integrating, and dying for integration. And what they want. And when they don't get it, and when you get tired of beating them side the head with clubs, when you get tired of putting dogs on them, when you get tired of killing them, Well, there won't be for one way for him to turn, and that's to our leading teacher.
How do you feel about the white persons who are risking danger right now to help the Negro integrate?
Well, I feel that you have one or two people acting other than themselves, but we have people such as New York City, Los Angeles, California, Chicago, all of these good northern cities. I don't see why they can't go on down and straighten out a few bad people. I can't let one or two people blind me to facts and reality.
Many of the people who are now working in the South to help the Negro voters register are white persons. Do you feel these people are allies of yours and of your religion?
No, they're good people, and for the cause they're fighting, they believe they're right, and that's all right. We have millions of people out of jobs. We have millions of people homeless, and there's the economical situation of the country is going, and just integration and the right to go in a restaurant is not going to solve nothing.
Mr. Clay, a man's religion, of course, is a very personal thing, but would I be prying too much if I ask you why your conversion from Christian to Muslim?
First of all, I'm going to say I have a new name now. It's
Muhammad
Ali. Yeah. After hearing the leading, our teacher, after he teaches us all about, we are a nation of 20 million people that have no knowledge of self. That's a fact. We're a nation of 22 million people that have other names than our own kind. That's a fact. We're a nation of 22 million people who have no unity among us whatsoever. That's a fact. We're a nation of 22 million people that no one wants to be bothered with or even socialized with. That's a fact. We're a nation of 22 million people who are from another land. And when we were in that land, we had a religion, we had a name, we had a God. And after hearing the teachings of our leader, a man's mind is never the same again.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't help from being converted to the religion of Islam, because I was invited to 14 Islamic countries, and these people are the oldest people on the planet. So whatever they had was first. So whatever they had must be better than something 2,000 years old.
To get back to your attitude toward the white man, you've been quoted as saying, "Why should I hate the white man? Because the white man's money made me what I am."
No, I've never said that.
You've never said
not like that. They call us people. They call us. They say Muslims hate people. That sounds real ignorant on the part of a white saying something like that. When as a whole, we are the victims of hate. We are the ones that are hated. And we're the ones who are stoned and blowed up and killed and beat up every day and mistreated like animals, so we can't be no haters. If they call our leader hate teacher, if the black people don't hate the white people after 400 years, then it's too late for somebody to teach them hate.
Muhammad Ali, while you were in Cairo, a pamphlet about Elijah Muhammad's Muslim movement was prepared and distributed by our United States Embassy there. According to reliable reports, this pamphlet is uncomplimentary and attacks Elijah Muhammad's Muslim movement. Did you see this pamphlet while you were visiting the UAR?
No, ma'am, I did not see that pamphlet, and I don't believe that's true. Anybody attacking the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would be run out of Egypt. I talked to President Nasser and all kind of Islamic officials of the scholars and the Al-Azhar, the oldest college in Egypt, and everybody sends their greetings and their love, and he was welcome, a open invitation to come to Cairo whenever he can, he and his family, and everybody talks about him all day, and they just love him. And that's not true.
While you were in Egypt, you were quoted as saying, "How is it going to look when I go home to my hometown and am treated like an animal?"
No.
Are you mistreated in this country?
No, ma'am. I'm never treated like an animal. No one will lay a hand on me. But I didn't say exactly that. That's one thing that I know that our leader teaches the truth about when he says that the average person here is hypocritical and lie. I've said so many things that were actually straight out twisted. But I said that many of our people, it's a plain fact how our people are treated here in this country.
You feel that many of your people are treated like animals, but that you yourself have not been. Is that
They're not treated like animals as long as they stay in the place. As soon as they get out of the place, then they might get killed.
Muhammad
That's
Ali,
a fact.
Excuse me, a few minutes ago, you, in answer to a question from Gay Pauly, you kept saying, we're a nation, we're a nation. You said that about four or five times, and I'm curious. When you say, we, the Negro people, are a nation, are you apart from the American nation? Do you feel that you're separate?
Well, our leader teaches us that we are a nation within a nation. There are 27 million people in Egypt, and there are about that many Negroes in America, so-called Negroes. Well, if you have 27 million black people here, then that's a nation within a nation. It's a fact that this is not our nation. Every day that's proved by whites, part of whites, that this is not our nation.
But you don't consider yourself first an American?
No, sir. No,
first,
sir.
First, you are what?
Proud to say no. First, I'm a black man. I'm an Afro-American. See, if a Chinese is born here, he's called a Chinese-American. If an Indian is born here, he's called Indian.
He may be called an American of Chinese origin. Depends on how you want to put it.
Well, I'm not no American. I'm a black man. I wouldn't want to cheapen myself like that because my country is old. Can't date the history of my people, and I would be cutting my history off if I just say I'm American first, and that's only 510 years old. Mm-hmm. So I'm proud to say I'm an African.
I see.
Muhammad Ali talking about the police shooting people, black people, in the 1960s. Jesus, we could have played that like today. Yeah, we could have played that today because that's what's happening today. I mean, after the cop was convicted over there in Minneapolis, Mr. William didn't mention his name. Anyway, after he was convicted, I think they were like within 24 hours, I think there was like four people shot, like two very suspiciously. So the bottom line is, you know, when I was a cop, I pulled my gun a lot. I did. I worked in Hunters Point. I worked in the Bayview. I worked in the Western Addition. It's from rough times. This is the beginning of that crack era in the 80s, okay? So I care. But a lot of times I had a 25 caliber gun in my little pocket here, in my little coat pocket, and then I pointed at people. They didn't know they was being pointed at them, okay? But the bottom line is, you took your gun out, but you didn't shoot people. You didn't kill people. You don't shoot first and ask questions later. And I think that's what cops are doing nowadays. They're shooting first and asking questions later. And as far as like making a mistake from your taser to your real gun, this and that, they're different hands. The taser's held with the left hand. The gun's held with the right hand. Different hands. So, you know, it ain't going to happen. You can't get confused like that. Okay. The bottom line is cops are killing people in the United States. And I'm a former cop, and it's very tough for me as a former policeman to try to defend policemen because people come to me. They ask me to come on radio shows and this and that, you know, defend the cops. I got a hard time doing that. I mean, you know, how do you defend a guy that you shoot somebody in the back four or five times? Then you lie in the police report. I mean, because that's what cops do. Cops test the lie. That's the worst thing as far as police and arrests are concerned here in the United States is that this test the lying thing. People don't know what that is, but it's test the lie. They're testifying, but they're lying. So we call it test the lying. I kid you not. Anyway, changing subjects. I've got to go to a funeral a little bit later today for Mr. Carlos Cortez. Of course, Annette Vega, that was his, like, her stepbrother, her mother. And father raised this young man. He passed away about a week and a half ago, a postal employee at the age of 38 years old from a heart attack. Good Lord, 38 years old with a heart attack. I'm going to say may he rest in peace, but the funeral takes place a little bit later today. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, WBC Boxing TV, of course. Next week, we will rock and roll, same time, same channel, Saturday, of course, 11 a.m. Pacific time. We come to you for an hour live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217. Of course, live on Twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA channel, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Of course, this is a Sunday edition, the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Coming to you Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time for 2 hours. That's 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, Ring Talk Sunday. 2 hours on Sports Byline. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. But somehow you know there's much more to the
trip. What is hip? Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. With Pedro Fernandez.
The Mighty Dramatics. Man, do I miss Ron Banks. Ron was cool to hang around with. LJ Reynolds, he liked California weed. There's no doubt about that. But Ron Banks was really a personality and quite a player. No doubt about that. Of course, 6 days away. Canelo, Billy Joe Sanders, of course, live on DAZN. If you haven't got DAZN now, you probably should get it this week because this is worth it. I mean, I pay $9.99 a month. I think it's like it's double that. I think the actual charge is like $19.99 a month. But since I came in at the beginning, I was grandfathered in at this early rate. But the bottom line is for $19.99, if you're a boxing fan or an MMA fan, both, I mean, you get a little watch Bellator, that kind of good stuff. But the boxing end of it, I mean, they've got fights from all over the world. And, of course, Barry Hearn trying to do his thing now. Barry Hearn's taking all his fights off of Sky TV in the UK, and he's transferring them to DAZN. So DAZN's becoming bigger in the UK. Will they wipe out Sky Sports? Probably not. But Barry Hearn, he's sort of like Don King, Bob Arum, all these guys put together right now. He's sort of controlling the big names in boxing right now. I'm talking about Barry Hearn, of course, of the UK. I sort of had doubts about him. I sort of figured, you know, he was a bit of a piece of work. But then again, every promoter is a bit of a piece of work to him. He said, that's what a promoter is. He's full of spit with an H. That's what promoters do. They have to promote things. Full spitting with an H. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. My name is Pedro Fernandez. You know, there's a million things you'd be doing right now, but the fact that you're tuned to Ring Talk Live World, either the audio or the visual, of course the video, come to you live on twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. This has not been one of my greater shows. I mean, I've been falling apart all over the place. The producer in the other room is telling me, don't worry about it! And I'm saying to myself, it is what it is. But until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. Don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide airs live Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, Saturday for an hour, Sunday for 2 hours. And, of course, you can check us out all the ways on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, both live and delayed. Until next time, Scott Cuddy producing this. I am Pedro Fernandez.